On this episode of Roots, Race, and Culture.
Does food have the ability to heal our bodies better than medicine?
Nature provides you with everything you need in front of you.
We're going through a wellness renaissance now.
Find out why Martha Stewart calls one of our guests one of her favorite chefs.
This is what sustainability is all about.
And you just need to have a cooking show.
I know. That's what Martha Stewart told me.
Join us for Roots, Race, and Culture.
Funding for Roots, Race, and Culture is provided in part by the Norman C. and Barbara L. Tanner Charitable Support Trust and by donations to PBS Utah from listeners like you. Thank you.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Roots, Race, and Culture, where we bring you into candid conversations about shared cultural experiences. I'm Lonzo Liggins.
And I'm Daynor Gerald. The top two causes of death in the United States are heart disease and cancer, according to the CDC's website in 2022.
And only 10% of cancer cases are hereditary. Hereditary causes of heart disease vary, according to the cancer.gov as of August 8th, 2024. The one thing we do know is that diet and exercise can make a difference in how we feel, think, and sometimes how long we live. Joining us today are two guests to talk about the healing benefits of food. Welcome, you guys.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Thank you for joining us. Yes, first, we have Omar Abu Ismail, yep, who is the owner and chef at Rawtopia. And Debbie Dworkin.
The one and only. Debbie, tell us about yourself.
Oh, so I am the founder and owner of a brand of teas, mushroom tea, called Dr. Mushroom.
Nice.
Awesome.
And Omar?
I'm the owner and chef of Rawtopia. It's a restaurant in Mill Creek, Utah. And originally I'm Lebanese and grew up in West Africa. And here I am.
And here you are, absolutely.
Nice, that's a long way.
Yeah,
from home.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, there's a little bit about your story, because I want to get into your story in a second, but I want to start with you, Omar. Tell us a little bit about your journey, how you got from, you know, Lebanon into Utah, and, you know, how you got into Rawtopia and, the you know, this world of sustainable food.
Yeah, well, so I grew up in Nigeria, West Africa. Mm-hmm. And I also used to go to Lebanon a lot. And then from Lebanon, I decided to continue my education and go to college here in the United States. And my grandma just happened to live in Utah. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to, you know, have my dad and my mother's approval to come here and continue my education at the University of Utah. Here we are.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I studied geophysics at the University of Utah. And then, geophysics. I worked as a geophysicist for, I would say, 2.5 years. And then my dad had cancer. And that propelled me to, after he passed away, to open the first raw food restaurant in Utah. It was a healthy food restaurant, all organic food restaurant, and that's my story. That's how I started back in 2004.
Wow. Okay. That's a journey. And I want to ask you later about how that death got you to make that change, that career change and things like that. But can you tell us a little bit about your story? What brought you to where you are with Dr. Mushroom?
Well, I just love mushrooms. Mm-hmm. So this was quite a few years ago. I went down to the market in Salt Lake City and saw this mushroom called lion's mane. Now, today, a lot of people know what lion's mane looks like. It's just a beautiful mushroom, very intriguing. There's something mysterious in general about mushrooms. So I just love mushrooms. And I decided to start learning how to grow mushrooms. And from there, growing mushrooms, then I started learning about the benefits of mushrooms. And after learning of the benefits of mushrooms, I started brewing mushrooms. And then I realized, well, okay, so there's more. We can get these wonderful benefits of mushrooms, and we can spread it like spores. We can get it out there. And it's much easier if you if you drink it, I mean, you can eat it a lot. You can do a lot of things with mushrooms.
Yeah. So, and bear in mind, we're not talking about like the psychedelic type of mushrooms also. I mean, even though there's benefits, I'm sure, to that, but we're talking about just simple mushrooms. Because there's tons of different types of mushrooms.
Exactly. We're talking about gourmet mushrooms, edible mushrooms. There are some other medicinal mushrooms that you can't, like a reishi, you can't eat it. It looks like a shelf. You know, if anybody has gone into the forest and you've seen these mushrooms that kind of grow like a shelf on a tree. So that's not a gourmet mushroom. It's considered a medicinal mushroom.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, so Omar, tell us, you know, you were a geophysicist, and then all of a sudden, you know, you decided that you wanted to switch over to being a chef. Was there a specific, was it because of your father's cancer that made you want to do that, or what's the story behind that?
I come from a family of chefs. Like, my mom is the head chef of Maza, used to be the head chef of Maza.
Great restaurant.
For a very long time, and she learned a lot from her grandmother, and back in the day when I was going to school, I remember she had to leave to D.C. for a while with my brother to live there. And I really missed her cooking, you know. So I would always call her on the phone and be like, hey, mom, how do we do this? How do you do that? Because I really missed, you know, Lebanese food a lot when she was gone. And so she would tell me how she made it. And I remember I would start making all these foods. And naturally, she's really good with herbs and spices. And I'm sort of the same way, where I'm very good with spices as well. And so I started learning a lot from her. And I remember even when I was working as a geophysicist, I would make food for myself and all my coworkers would want to, you know, eat my food. And then they would ask me to make them food the next day, you know, so I would, when I made myself food, I would make them food and sell my food that I made to them the next day.
Yeah.
So food has always been with me. But then when I was living in Maui working as a geophysicist, I remember reading a book called The Food Revolution, and my awareness of food really heightened at that moment in time, I remember, and the environment was a pressing issue for me, and so I wanted to really understand how am I impacting the environment and how can I live within, you know, sustainably so that I'm able to eat food and nourish myself at the same time support the planet that I live on.
That's wonderful. I would love to take a look at your restaurant. Let's take a look at his restaurant real quick. And let's go ahead and cut to that and see Omar in his element and see Rawtopia. That's a nice restaurant.
I'm telling you. And I got to say, you said you were good with spices, and he's not kidding. I had a meal there, and as soon as I put it in my mouth, I was like, oh my gosh, that is an explosion of flavors. It was so good. And I just want to kind of make some things clear. When you mention raw food, people kind of have a perception of that. And then, but you're also talking about sustainability. And I want to here, how would you define that? I want to hear from both of you, but let's start with you, Omar.
So raw food is meaning everything is made from scratch. Obviously, when you make food, the basic ingredients is like a raw garlic. Nowadays, when people buy already peeled garlic, there's a processing involved where, first of all, they peel it, and then they pasteurize it, and then they bag it, and then they sell it. I'm all about the raw garlic. So basically, you take the garlic, you peel it yourself from the skin, and then you use it in the food. That's what raw is to me, is making everything from scratch. Ginger. We take the ginger, we wash it, we peel it, and we use it. Young baby Thai coconut. We don't bring coconuts that are in cans. We actually take the raw coconut, we open it up, we take the water out, we gut the meat out, and then we blend the water and the meat together to create the cream. So everything is made from scratch. And this restaurant symbolizes sustainability because not only does it harvest a lot of its products organically grown, but also we use a lot of farmers market. We support farmers market. So we go to farmers market and we get a lot of food from farmers market. We support growers and farmers that are actually growing biodynamically and organically. Also, we have our own gardens as well. So yeah, we harvest a lot of our food in the summers, and we dry it and we can it, and we use it in the wintertime in the restaurant. So we take advantage of the abundance that comes from the summertime, and all that. It's not only the abundance from the summer, but it also all the flavors that is in real food in the summertime that grows in your own backyard. Mm-hmm. There's something very, very different than something that comes, say, from a far distance, like in Turkey or from Egypt or from, you know, other countries.
South America.
South America, right. So there's something very special and raw about having your ingredients sourced, first of all, locally, and then if you can't get something locally, then, of course, you source it from other places. But and the key to that is using everything the way it comes in its raw form.
How about you, Debbie? I mean, with when you think of sustainability, what do you think of?
Well, I think in context with mushrooms. So to grow a million pounds of mushrooms, you need a few acres. However, if you want to grow the same quantity of produce, some other produce, you need thousands of acres of land. To grow 7 pounds of mushrooms, you need 1 square foot of land for seven pounds. And mushrooms don't, it doesn't take that much water to grow mushrooms, and it doesn't take that much light. So that in itself is sustainability.
Okay.
Yeah.
And mushrooms make, they create great soil. Just the nature of mushrooms, that they break down the soil.
Which is great. That's a bit of an issue from what I understand right now with, you know, large-scale farming, is that the soil is not as rich as it used to be. I don't know if it's because they're not rotating crops the same or there's GMO stuff. I don't know all that stuff. But I have heard that, for example, people have to supplement with magnesium now because there's not as much magnesium in the food because the soils in a lot of these larger farms don't have that nourishment to offer to the plants as they grow. So maybe that's a little bit of what you're talking about.
That's the same context, yes.
Okay. Interesting.
And you also have a drink. It's Dr. Mushroom.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that drink, like the different types of drinks that you have, and just about your product in general.
Oh, okay. So it's in a can, so it's ready to drink. The whole idea is for to be available, to have mushrooms available for everybody. Not only the people that are very discerning about what they put in their bodies, but anybody looking for a delicious tea that has the benefits of mushrooms. So we have three different flavors. One is with hibiscus and with shaga, which is one purpose. And then another one is with lion's mane. And lion's mane is great for your brain. And it's with ginger lemongrass. And the third one is reishi chai. And reishi is a relaxing. So the idea is that, first of all, you get a tea that you like. You have to like the taste.
Sure.
Then it comes with the extra benefits.
Yeah.
And you also do samplings of these things, because we got a chance to actually see, Dana and I were actually at one of your samplings where you were actually doing this up at Clockwork in Park City. Let's take a look at that, actually.
My coworkers are gonna be proud that I had anything with mushroom in it.
Thank you, won't believe what happened.
It is so strange. I have never seen her drink mushroom.
So yeah, here we have there's your three different teas there, and people seem to like it. They talk about the texture, talking about the taste. And do you find that you're getting a lot of positive feedback when you have these samplings?
A lot of different people, too.
Yeah, young and old.
It's crazy. It's so many different kinds of people. You know, at the beginning, I thought it my customer, typical customer, would be a certain type of customer. I thought it would be a woman that does yoga, that's looking into keeping her body fit, and
all the sort of things you expect for that customer base in Utah,
especially in Park City.
Right,
Park City. It's not that at all. It's actually I have a lot more male customers. A lot of people that are construction workers, that are teachers, that are, I mean, I have everything. You can't just say, oh, it's only this kind of person. Mm-hmm. It's basically everybody. We're going through a wellness renaissance now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would agree.
So everybody, people know of mushrooms now. Yeah. They're more open-minded. They want to try it. And everybody wants to feel good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody yeah. does.
Absolutely.
And everybody wants to have something that's better for them.
Yeah, for the record, I can't stand mushrooms, but I do love her drinks. And I was amazed by the benefits of mushrooms. But you know what? I just realized we are in the midst of someone who has just absolutely been kind of a celebrity here. Omar.
What?
Yeah, so Omar has been featured in Martha Stewart's show how many times?
Once. I did a show with her.
Once is enough.
Yeah. Once is enough. Right?
Well, tell us about
I met
that
her,
experience.
She came to my restaurant and, two springs ago. Mm. And she came to my restaurant and really loved my food and posted about me on her Instagram story. And then her producers contacted me a few days later and asked me to go to New York and film with her. So she did an episode featuring my restaurant, Rawtopia, on Martha Cooks on Roku.
Just because of the, you know, the scent that comes in, the flavor.
Is it tabbouleh or tabbouleh?
Tabbouleh.
Tabbouleh.
Yes. And, she's amazing.
Parsley.
I love her.
Mince. Gorgeous. Right. Gorgeous romaine lettuce.
Mm-hmm. So we did an actual episode there. I went to New York and filmed with her, and it was a lot of fun.
That is fun. So was she in town just for, like, Sundance or something, or did she specifically come to check out your restaurant?
Well, no, she was in town, I think, to talk in a conference. And then she had to go back to New York, and she wanted a healthy restaurant to go to. So she asked her people that were kind of entertaining her in Utah that she wanted a really nice, healthy restaurant to go to eat. And they gave her, she was in a rush, so they gave her this option where she could go somewhere downtown. But then they're like, but Rawtopia is the best, but it's a 15-minute from downtown. And she was like, I want to go to Rawtopia. So she went to Rawtopia, and I happened to be there. And unfortunately, I didn't recognize her when she was there. And she
that might be good. I don't
it
know.
Was, I mean, she asked me, she was like, can I, your food is really good. She asked me if she can have more samples of different foods. And I told her she needs to order it on the menu, and I walked away. And then my server came after me and he goes, hey, this is Martha Stewart, you know? So I went back to her, and she looked at me and she was like, I'm Martha Stewart. And I said, yeah, I know. I heard. I got the message. And then I was like, please let me serve you, you know? So I go back to the kitchen and I whip up a bunch of things and I brought it to her. And I was surprised. I mean, I had no idea that she would come to my restaurant. And every bite she was taking, it was like she was closing her eyes and she was enjoying the flavors and she was enjoying the food so much and taking pictures of everything and talking to me about how my restaurant would do really well in Vegas or it would do really good in New York. And she was just so happy about it and couldn't stop talking about it.
That is a fun story, I'm telling you. That is very cool. Martha Stewart is a successful and unique person, so I bet it was a lot of fun to hang out with her. So let me ask you this. You're telling us about mushrooms and you're making this amazing tea. You mentioned some of the properties of the different brands of tea, but help us understand what all mushrooms have to offer. Are there some other benefits that people are just not aware of that they can benefit from?
Well, in general, all mushrooms have vitamin D, and vitamin D is good.
Vital.
Yeah. Yes. And then there are anti-inflammatory properties. There's antiviral properties, so that's good for infections, and that, or to prevent infections. Then there's there are mushrooms that are that have more properties that are for mental,
and then
cognitive functioning, that kind. And then they're good for regulating your blood. Regulating
blood sugar.
Yes, there's beta glucans, which in all mushrooms, which is like a fiber, and that helps regulate blood blood sugar, helps lower cholesterol. Ones that I was growing. Oyster mushrooms, they're really well known for helping to lower cholesterol.
Oh, wow. So is this like, you? The shelf ones, I forget the name of them, but the ones that grow that are like shelves, you said they're not culinary mushrooms, but they have medicinal
Reishi. Those are really known for as a antidepressant and relaxing, to help relax. And that's why one of my drinks my chai, I have reishi in it.
Wow. Well, yes. there's a lot of benefits there that a lot of people are struggling with in, you know, modern society and culture, at least Western culture and society, with the pace and the lifestyle that we have. A lot of people struggle with, you know, emotional health and with that feeling of resilience and being able to relax. I mean, so many people struggle to sleep because they can't turn their mind off, right? They're constantly like thinking and worrying, and anything that you can get to help people relax and be at ease, you know, that sounds like a good way to fall asleep. Now, I have tried the tea as well, and I thought it was great. I have one question. So it's in these nice cans that we saw earlier, or did we get a chance to cut to that earlier?
Yes,
we saw it. Yes, okay. So it's nice canned drink. Can you drink it cold or hot? What are the possibilities with it?
Yes, you can drink it cold or hot. You can take it. I mean, of course, you can't put your canned tea in an oven or in a microwave anything like that. But you can, especially the hibiscus one tastes it's delicious hot. Mm-hmm. So I do encourage people to, I love hot tea. Yeah. So I do encourage to try that hot. And all three of them are good hot. But specifically, the hibiscus one is really good hot.
You touched on a word there, Dana. You said resilience. So Omar and I, we had a conversation. We were talking about the dandelion. So you have a dandelion salad specifically that's at your restaurant. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that plant is based on resilience. Can you tell us a little bit more about the dandelion salad?
Yeah, well, dandelion is known in Utah to be a weed, and everyone wants to get rid of it. It's like a really hard weed to get rid of.
Yes, it is.
And it's because it's resilient. And the matter of fact, in a lot of places in Europe, they use dandelion for food. I mean, dandelion is like one of their delicacies, and you could use the dandelion flower, you could use the green leaves, and you can use the root. Dandelion is very, very, very powerful in its medicinal components, including also like all its benefits and the nutritional value of it, and of course the flavor of it. It has this bitterness to it, and so the greens are mostly eaten. You can cook it or eat it raw. In Lebanon, we do both. We eat it raw and we cook it, and we make it into salads. The flour, people make wine out of it. Wow. And then they also make different tinctures and extracts with it. And the root is boiled normally, and you can drink the root
like
of the dandelion, and it's excellent for the liver and kidneys. Oh. Also, the dandelion leaves is actually very, very good for prebiotics. Now, a lot of people are under the awareness that we we need probiotics, but no one talks about prebiotics. You sort of need that prebiotic in order for the probiotic to work. And mostly greens have a lot of prebiotics in it that help the gut. And it's in the world we live in today where everything is highly processed, we're omitting that fiber, we're omitting that nutrition, the bioavailability of all the foods. And therefore our guts and microbiome are struggling to survive, and therefore sickness thrives in our body, and we have a culture where we're eating a lot of processed foods, and we have a lot of heart failures, heart risks, high blood pressure, all kinds of cardiovascular diseases, and obesity is a real thing in this country.
Yeah.
And it's because of all the overprocessed foods. And that's why as simple as dandelion can get, which grows in your own backyard, is something magical for your stomach and for your microbiome. And I think it's extremely important to understand that nature provides you with everything you need in front of you.
Right in front of your face. Yeah. So you're saying that, you know, don't put any of the weed killers on there.
No.
But if you just, you know, keep it fresh without doing weed killers, you can pull these dandelions,
yep,
rinse them, clean them,
and then put them in your smoothies. You could take the root and dry it so that you can have it in your cabinet for a tea. Take the flowers and put them in honey, and then you can make honey with dandelion flowers in it.
And that's before it turns into the puffy white thing, or
no? The flowers are yellow. The puffy white white is normally the seeds.
The seeds,
And normally when you take it and you blow on it, the seeds all fly with an umbrella.
Right.
It's really cool, and then they just go everywhere, and people hate them.
Right. But you're saying it turns
absolutely
to seed.
Yeah. So it's when the flower comes out, then people. There's a lot of people. I remember once me and my mom were walking in the park, and I saw these ladies from Russia, and they were literally picking all the dandelion flowers. And I'm like, wow, what do you do with them? And they said, we put them in honey, and the honey becomes very beneficial after it soaks in honey, and then we eat that. And
you just got to warn them, be like, in America, be careful, make sure that hasn't been sprayed.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, the core, that's what I would like, my message would be, is to have people understand the correlation between the earth and your body. Mm-hmm. We are not any different than nature. And when nature is healthy, we are healthy. When nature is unhealthy, we are unhealthy.
Wow.
We have to start connecting to food on that level, on that micro level, because the way food is grown in today's time is pretty toxic, unfortunately. And not to mention, like you were talking about, the topsoil. Yeah, it does take geologic time. It takes like 10,000 years to build an inch of topsoil.
Wow.
That inch of topsoil can be gone in one grower season where they put, because they put chemical fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, larvicides, insecticides, and it destroys the topsoil. I mean, it destroys the topsoil, and then it's pretty problematic to the environment. And I feel like we really need to start connecting to our food and where our food comes from, and start from there.
100%. All those sides, you talk about this, kill that, kill this, kill that, and you're just putting that on the things that we're eating.
That makes a lot
of sense when you think about it.
Yeah, and with Debbie, like with your, you're trying to bridge the gap, right, between people eating processed foods and or processed drinks or whatever they are into getting into more of the healthier drinks. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, like I said, we're going through a renaissance, but I think it's really helpful that we have a restaurant like Rawtopia. Mm-hmm. So it's all about everything tasting good. If your food doesn't taste good, then you're not going to want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy food as pleasure.
Yeah.
So thanks to a restaurant like Rawtopia, where the food tastes good, people want to go there, they want to eat, and then they'll learn about it, about the food.
Mm-hmm.
We aim to do the same thing with Dr. Mushroom. We want people to enjoy their tea, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then the tea happens to come with benefits. I say, like, your best friend with benefits. Sure. So it
well, that which can be taken so many ways.
People. Hold on.
So it's basically like getting people to pick up, at least getting people in the process in your situation to pick up a Dr. Mushroom as opposed to a Dr. Pepper.
Exactly.
No offense to Dr. Pepper.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, don't mess with Dr. Pepper.
Thanks to also our retailers and our stores and our the more restaurants we have that have food, you know, food conscious food, mm-hmm. And the more retail like supermarkets that we have that put on their shelves healthy foods, good for you foods, mm-hmm. then the more people have access to it. So mm-hmm. it's a lot about accessibility.
Yeah. I definitely feel like people are more conscientious than they do. I mean, I'm, I don't want to date myself, but I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s and, you know, even a little bit of time in the 70s. And at that time,
it was... A lot of time in the 70s.
at that time, I don't know if you guys remember, but it was like... People were so proud of, oh, look how I made this gelatinous thing into something that's edible. And it's got like, you look at the list on the ingredients and it's just not a single word you can pronounce, right? And I feel like we, at that time, as a country, were really into all the things we could make. Like, it was like, oh, you don't go to McDonald's? Come on, man, McDonald's is the best. I mean, no offense to McDonald's, but it's not made from scratch by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I feel like it's ruined it, you know? I feel like we live in a society where people don't have any clue about how to get back to that, but they're wanting to desperately get back to that.
A lot of people don't
know how to cook. Do you get that impression a lot, you know, with people that come in and eat at Rotopia that they're trying to get back to a place of...
Yeah, people come to my restaurant really relieved mm-hmm. because for once they can eat anything in my restaurant because of their dietary restrictions because we don't use any seed oils. Everything is organic.
Even have gluten-free hamburger buns or something.
Well, everything is gluten-free. Everything is dairy-free. We use only wild meat like bison and wild salmon and mahi-mahi. We have everything from like West African food to American food like bison burger. We have sweet potato fries, but we bake it with coconut oil instead of deep fry it. So a lot of people appreciate that. They appreciate that they can go to a place and indulge and feel good afterwards. It's like food that gives them energy. They feel very good, their gut feels good, and they really appreciate that.
Which is great because, I mean, that was my experience. And also I'll speak for my wife because she's got dietary restrictions because of a previous illness that she had. And she sat down and looked at this menu and she was just like, I can order anything I want. Like nothing was off of her, you know, palate and within her, all was free and clear. Yeah. And she was so excited to have that many choices. She couldn't even make up her mind hardly. And I will say this, like, not only was the food delicious, but like you said, it's like, you know, the same thing like drinking the tea. Afterwards, I felt like the effects of eating a made from scratch home-cooked meal, and I was just like, I felt great all night.
Food should give you energy, not take away energy.
I wasn't hungry later, even though it was pretty early in the day, relatively speaking. Yeah. So that's another weird thing about sustainability. Like, it sustains you as well as the earth in a better way.
Yeah, and I want to ask you the same question that I asked Debbie. I mean, I'm the type of person who does eat processed foods, you know, but I do like to occasionally blend in, you know, healthier foods as well. What would you recommend to like the average person who's maybe eating a little bit unhealthy to slowly make the transition into eating more raw foods?
Well, I say stay away from bad seed oils. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Processed foods in general, stay away from that. And the more you can eat whole foods, the better. I feel like whole foods is where it's at. And you know, also read your ingredients, you know, look at the packet and look at the ingredients. If it's ingredients you can't pronounce or you don't understand, don't get it. Because on a cellular level, your body is metabolizing that and it can't quite metabolize it. Yeah. And it damages your cells and then it leads to sickness. And yeah, maybe you're going, you know, you're spending a little bit more money, but in the long run, your health is a lot more important than anything. I mean, what's the use of having all the wealth in the world but have but being unhealthy?
You can't enjoy
it. How are you going to enjoy your life then? And what's the use of growing older and having always being in pain and suffering? You can not have that happen if you are more conscientious of how you're eating today, and with the choices you're making, and being aware of what you're putting in your body and being aware of what you're supporting, because it all matters. We vote with our dollars, and I feel like the earth is a sacred place for us, and we need to, you know, have it healthy for the future generations to come. So we can't be selfish and think about only my palate or myself or what feels good to me or what I want to eat. Yeah. But no, we want to think, okay, what's good for the planet? What's good? What can I support that can keep this earth healthy for the future generations to come so that they're not living in filth and a toxic environment? And I think the more we talk about it and with each other, and the more we hold each other accountable and say, hey, like there's better alternatives to that bag of potato chips, or there's a better alternative. We have to start talking about these things. A lot of people are very sensitive about it, but I feel like when is enough? How can we? Start taking charge of our lives and helping one another grow and be smarter, stronger. I mean, food affects our mental health too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they did a research where they took a bunch of children and they fed them a bunch of processed foods. And the children that ate a lot of processed foods, They were angry, they were fighting, they were feisty, they were screaming. Yeah. But then they fed a bunch of children healthy food, like, bananas and apples and oranges and vegetables and organic stuff. And these kids exhibited peace. Mm. They were happy, they were loving towards one another. They weren't crying and screaming. It was wild how that happened. And so these are like little things. I mean, when your health bacteria is your stomach, when your gut is, you have a healthy gut bacteria and you have a healthy intestinal flora happening, your mental health is very happy and you're a happier person.
Mm. Yeah.
So
I can vouch for that. In a very amazing sort of like display of motherly intuition, my wife had one of our sons who kind of struggled with emotional, like, stability. Mm-hmm. She decided to, many years ago, stop giving him red food with red food dye in it, any kind of red food dye. And we could tell the difference once he was a week without eating anything with red food dye in there. His mood stabilized. He was not always angry and crying and emotionally kind of like stressed out. And he was very young, you know, this is before he was probably 10 years old. And it made a big difference. Of course, now here we are, you know, over 10 years since then, I'm hearing a lot about people saying these food dyes are not good, the red food dye and this and that. Like it has an
all
impact.
All food dyes.
It has an impact on their
absolutely,
you know, mental health.
And all the food additives and food science and you know, manipulation of the food that is in our food industry, it's pretty toxic. They put a lot of chemicals, it's food engineering and food science, which is so disruptive to, and there's no nutrition.
Let me talk real quick about you spoke about health. You know, for over 30 years, medicinal mushrooms have been approved, you know, for cancer treatments in Japan and China. I know that mushrooms have a real effect, or at least the research that I've done, they do have an effect with cancer. Can you speak a little bit on that, like how they're used in cancer treatments?
I don't know much about that, honestly. I can just tell you that I know that they use turkey tail as an adjunct to chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. That's in Western medicine. Mm-hmm. In Chinese medicine, they've been using, or Asian, not only Chinese, ancient, any kind of ancient medicine, They've been using mushrooms for thousands of years for all different diseases and situations. Mm. We, Dr. Mushroom, tend to encourage using mushrooms just to be better. I really cannot talk about healing. All I know is it's good for you, and why not put in your body something that is good for you?
Sure. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. It's interesting how all these things sort of work in cycles. You know, maybe, you know, hundreds or if not thousands of years ago, they were doing one thing, and then somebody said, "Oh, we can do it better," and then all of a sudden, things come back around. They're like, you know what? That's not working on these things. So let's try this again. And that's one of the important things to do, is to learn from history. And when it comes to our food and our health, I feel like most people tend to think of this stuff as something for young people. It's like, oh yeah, you gotta give the kids something healthy, you gotta do this. And then, I don't know, maybe it was me, you get a little older and you're like, oh, I'm an adult now, I can handle it, right? But it sounds like from what you're saying that throughout your lifespan, you are what you eat. What you put into your body has a positive or negative effect on you. It's not just for kids to eat healthy.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, like, once you get past a certain age, it's almost mandatory that you should start eating healthy, you know.
It's part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, it should just be incorporated in that, and, you know, in my opinion.
Not just choice.
So, Debbie, tell us more about where people can find Dr. Mushroom.
Well, so I'm looking for a bigger distribution in Utah. We started in Colorado, mm-hmm. So we have a couple of stores in Colorado. We have now in Utah, we have at the market in Park City, now the market in Midway. Mm-hmm. We're at a number of delis, Clockwork. Mm-hmm. And a deli called Delicious. Mm-hmm. And those delis are just like, because they love their customers, and they want their customers to eat and drink good food. Mm-hmm. And good beverages. So
so you're hoping others will catch on and see that there's options. And this is, you know, it's a locally, I mean, you live in Utah, right?
Yes, it's local, women's owned. I'm looking for a larger distribution, so mm-hmm. I would love to make it to St. George, make it all over the place, because, like I said, accessibility is important.
Mm-hmm. Is there an online option for people to find it?
Not yet.
Okay, maybe that's the next step.
And Rawtopia is in Cottonwood Heights.
Mill Creek.
Mill Creek, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess that is Mill Creek, because what's the address of it again?
It's 3961 South Wasatch Boulevard.
Okay. So, Momar, I want to just ask you, how can people get more locally sourced foods? Because you mentioned a little bit about farmers markets.
Yeah, I think farmers market is where it's at. In the summertime, take advantage of farmers markets. In the wintertime, there's winter markets, and there's also Utah Natural Meats. That is in South Jordan. They have specific hours, but you can get local dairy, you can get local eggs, you can get local meat, and they're all grass-fed and grass-finished. And I think it's, you know, worthwhile to look into. Winter Farmers Market, you can find all kinds of animal products as well in Winter Farmers Market, and certain vegetables that are grown hydroponically. And then in the summertime, of course, you have a lot of farmers markets everywhere, from Park City to downtown Pioneer Market to Wheeler Farm Market to Daybreak Farmers Market. I mean, there is farmers markets everywhere. Mm-hmm. And these farmers deserve to be supported. Sure. Because they do a great deal of work and effort to prep their soil and to grow nourishing foods. You see, the thing is that when you have a nutritive, rich, mineralized soil, it yields high percentages of vitamins and minerals in the produce that comes out of it. Mm. And I think that's one of the most important things that we need to do is eat food that grows locally, because there is a lot more nutrients in the food than, say, foods that you would get from a grocery store. Mm. And you can even taste the difference. If you get an organic tomato from a grocery store, it tastes nothing like an heirloom tomato grown in the summertime.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That blows my mind.
I know. Or zucchini, yeah, or any of the produce that comes from farmer's market is normally what you want. Yeah. It's high in minerals, nutrition, and
is that what makes the flavor so much better?
Yes, of course. The way it's grown, the soil, and the freshness and the availability, because it grows right there. It's harvested in the morning, and they bring it, or the following evening, uh-huh, and then they bring it early in the morning to farmer's market, and here you are buying it and eating it right away. Uh-huh. There's something beautiful about that. And also take advantage of your freezers, you know, and freeze a lot of your fruit. We have a lot of fruit in the winter, in the summertime in Utah.
Yeah, we do.
So take advantage of that, dry it. I make my own trail mix with all the dried fruit from the summertime. Herbs, I grow a lot of herbs, marjoram, thyme, rosemary, oregano, and you can, there's a lot of that growing perennially. You can always harvest it and then dry it and then make your own spice mix with it. This is what sustainability is all about.
And you just need to have a cooking show.
I know. That's what Martha Stewart told me. She's like, you act like you're already having your own cooking show. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to do more of that to help educate people and teach them how to utilize what they can grow in the garden and how they can use it in their spice cabinets and how they can make amazing, delicious food with it.
That's awesome. Well, that's next steps for Rawtopia.
Yeah, and you've Rawtopia certainly educated us and our audience.
University.
Yeah. Rawtopia University. You guys have definitely been great. Dr. Mushroom with Debbie Dworkin and Omar at Rawtopia. Thank you so much for having you guys on here. It has been a pleasure. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, we appreciate it. And from all of us at PBS Utah, thank you for joining the conversation. As always, other episodes can be found on our website, pbsutah.org/roots. Or on the PBS Utah YouTube channel.
And if you have any feedback or ideas for other episodes, be sure to give us a shout out on social media. Until next time, for Roots, Race, and Culture, y'all, we are out.
Funding for Roots, Race, and Culture is provided in part by the Norman C. and Barbara L. Tanner Charitable Support Trust and by donations to PBS Utah from viewers like you. Thank you.